Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. How about greeting your neighbors that are sitting next to you across the aisle and pass the peace of God, if you will, please. Now, if you would please, return to your seats and let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation. The first thing I'd like to do is to deal with the little yesterday business. If you would please, when you go into IHOP to eat, would you please thank them for their willingness to help our mission projects by providing the materials for the pancake breakfast yesterday morning? We didn't have an overflow crowd, but we did well. And of course, every little bit helps. So please thank IHOP for their concern for civic and community events and activities, for providing that all of those supplies for us yesterday. I also would like to remind you that September is just around the corner, and the September-October upper rooms are available now, so you do need to get your copy of those. I also want to call to your attention a couple of things in the bulletin. First of all, two important things happen today. First of all will be the administrative board meeting at 5 o'clock this afternoon in the Trinity classroom. Please make an effort to get here. We don't have them a lot, but we do need to have administrative boards to conduct the business of our church. So please make an effort to come. And like everything else in the United Methodist Church, nothing is closed. So if you don't think you have to come, but you would like to come, please do. We would love to have you come visit us. The youth fall kickoff also begins today. They're going to have a progressive dinner party. Do you remember those things we used to do in the dark ages? The youth are going to be doing a progressive dinner party tonight to kick off their fall program. So all you young folks, make an effort to get there. I also want to call to your attention the Wednesday night gatherings. We're doing things new and a little different this year, and we have to have reservations. Before, we could just add a little more water to the soup, but we've made an effort to improve the quality of the meals as well as the programs, so they are catered, and we have to know by 5 o'clock on Monday if you intend to come to the Wednesday night gathering. And your menus, the menus were on the front page of the last newsletter, and you can check off when you want to come. I'm already looking at the meatloaf because I've seen that one is ahead on the menu. The menu is in the program each time in the bulletin today, so you can see what's there. But remember, 5 o'clock Monday's the deadline. And the 28th will be Promotion Sunday. And looking ahead is Epworth, that's mentioned there in your calendar. But I also want to remind you that we have a lot of activities going on at the church, and as you get back in the swing of school, check out your calendars and make an effort to participate. Now, let us continue to prepare our hearts and minds for our worship service today as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Will all who are able please stand and join us in this morning's call to worship? Our help is from God, who made heaven and earth. Come to worship the one who answers our prayers. God has gifted each one of us in unique ways. In our variety, we complement one another.
We rejoice in God's love and faithfulness.
In thankfulness, we bring our joyous songs. We are here to pay attention to God's instructions.
Thank you. Would you join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin? Merciful God, just God, faithful God, God of blessing and God of our most difficult times, we come to you for a moment of quiet in our self-made busyness. We come to you for energy in our weariness. We come to you for challenge when we are waiting to settle for our own small plans and dreams. We long for the peace of your presence, even as we are afraid of the urgency of your call. Enter, Spirit of God, into each of our lives and enliven us. Enter, Spirit of God, and into our community. Enable us to love and serve you and all your children. Amen. And let us join together in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to thy Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now, and ever shall be, world without end.
The Old Testament reading for today begins with verse 8 and runs through verse 10 in Exodus chapter 2. This is the familiar story of Moses being found by the Pharaoh's daughter and begins with a series of readings which will eventually see the people of Israel called into a covenant relationship with God. Hear now a reading from God's Word. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase and in the event of war join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore they set up taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sifra and the other Pua, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? The Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the numerous multiplied and became very strong. And because the commanded all his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she held him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maids to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl said, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and the nurse and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." The epistle reading for today is the first 8 verses of the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Listen again for God's word to us. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in thankfulness. We bring our joy, the leader in thankfulness, in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it good to have the choir back? Go ahead and let them know how much you enjoy having them back. They deserve a break. The break's over, and it's time to get work. But we do enjoy them. Thank you, choir, for the way that you bless us and enhance our worship. And thank each one of you for what you mean in the kingdom of God as well, for your gift and gifts and for your labors. May God be with you. As we prepare to go to a pastoral prayer, we would like to add Sarah Stewart, who's a hospital in Lexington, to our prayer list. And also my daughter called me and said, Dad, said, please pray for Stacy's relative. I think his first name is Tyler, last name is Stevens. He's in intense combat now in Afghanistan, and I ask you to pray for him, and we will have his name listed in next week's bulletin. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we still ourselves in your presence and in the presence of these, our friends, those whom we have worshiped with for a long time and those who maybe we have just begun to worship, for whatever the longevity or the brevity of time in which we worship together, we thank you, Almighty God, that you are the God who never changes, that you have been with our foreparents, you are here with us, and if the world tarries, you will continue to be with our children and their children through the ages. And it is you this day we come to and we pray. It is to you that we give praise and adoration. It is to you, Almighty God, that we come with these concerns upon our hearts. Touch these, Almighty God, your children. Hear these needs and prayers of our hearts. As we affirm again, like Peter of old, that you are the Messiah, that you are our hope, and beside you there is no other. Holy God, we pray that you indeed will bless these, our children who have gone back to school now, and those who will be going back in the next few weeks to institutions of higher learning, for those who are endeavoring to instruct them. May they all be an example of a believer in this world of ours. We pray, as always, for those who are away from home, those on mission fields, those serving our country, those in harm's way, for those in leadership over the church and over our nation. We pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Thank you.
Holy God, we bring these gifts to your altar as a sacrifice of these our gifts given to you, holy and majestic God. Bless the gift, bless the giver, and those who have not and those who chose not to give this day. Let all that we do be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Maker, our Father, and our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. The children are invited forward at this time and reminded to bring their change for the purchase towards the purchase of a llama from Heifer Project.
Miss Kathy says we have raised over $66 for our llama. Yay, that's great. How was your first? Well, you can bring some next time, it's okay. How was your first week back at school for those who are in school? Was it wonderful? I had a great week. I have wonderful students. They're a little on the chatty side, but I've just kind of decided that's the way it goes. But maybe that means they're interested in school because they talk so much. But they're wonderful students. We're going to play a little guessing game this morning. Do you like games? Good. I hope y'all know the answers. I have three kind of riddly things for you. This game is called Who Am I? I'm going to give you some clues about some famous people or famous characters. And when I get to the part that says, I am, question mark, that's when you can say the answer to who you think I'm identifying or describing. Ready? Number one, I wore a white powdered wig and was said to have fessed up about chopping down the cherry tree. I was the first president of the United States. My face is on every quarter. I am... You are so smart, you don't even need school. You're so smart. Number two, I am not a real person, but I have appeared in many cartoons. I have two big black round ears, and you might have seen me in Disney World. I am loved by children everywhere, and my initials are MM. I am brilliant. Last one. You're two for two. I'm really, really tall, and I'm green. And I stand all the time holding up a torch for all to see me as they enter the New York Harbor. I am a famous symbol for American freedom. I am a real lady, and I have welcomed millions to America. I am... Oh, you are so smart. Wonderful. Well, that was a really fun guessing game. And you know, it reminds me of a day that Jesus was talking to his disciples. And this was during the time of Jesus's early teachings. And people were really, really interested in what he had to say. Well, Jesus was a little curious about what people were saying about him. So he asked his disciples to tell him what people were saying about him. And they told him, well, some say you're John the Baptist. And some say you're a great teacher and a prophet of God. Well, Jesus pressed them just a little bit harder. And he asked, but who do you say I am? They should know this if everybody is focused. Does anybody know? Well, let me continue. Maybe you'll get it. Simon, one of the disciples, answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, that answer made Jesus really, really happy. Simon, who Jesus named Peter, which means the rock, got the right answer. He knew who Jesus was. He was the grand champion of the Who Am I game. There are still many, many people all over the world who don't know who Jesus is. And it's our job to let everyone know about him. Let's say a prayer. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to let others know who he is. Others know who he is. Amen. Have a great week.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 13th verse of the 16th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. As I reflected on this passage of Scripture, I remember when I was in Woodruff as a young boy, and there was always this one kid in the class who was very smart, and he always seemed to have all the right answers, and he always made 100 on every one of the tests. And he was the one maybe that was a lot like Peter in this passage of Scripture. Maybe he was the one that came to this knowledge of who Jesus was, and that other disciples were somewhat jealous. Or maybe he was the one who was speaking for all of the disciples and saying, "You are the Messiah." I remember looking back over our readings the last few weeks, and it seemed as though that Jesus was always trying to separate himself somewhat from his surroundings, especially after he received the message that John the Baptist had been executed. And every time he moved away, there were those people who came to him with special needs. You remember the little boy with the loaves and fishes? You remember the lady who came and she was asking Christ to pray for her daughter who was vexed with a demon? And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is about 25 miles northeast of Galilee. He is the furthest that he is going to be away from Palestine. It's his one and only trip out of that region. He is in an area that is the most separated mentally from all the Jewish styles of worship. There are gods and temples all over the place. This is the area which had a temple that was built to Caesar by Herod Antipas. This is the region where it is speculated that Paul said that I have seen the temple made to the unknown God. And he said, that's the one I'm telling you about. It was in this region where Jesus looks at Peter and the disciples and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" I can imagine some of the struggles that are taking place within inside of Jesus. And of course, you remember the answer, Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, who has risen from the dead, one of the prophets, one of these great leaders, and all these individuals were elevating Christ to that position that gave a clear indication that they were saying that he was something special. He was not just any other human being. I remember talking with Mark Klein, one of my very good rabbi friends, and we discussed many times about the position of who Christ is in their world and in my world, about the role of the Jews in proclaiming this message of the kingdom. I texted the other day a member of this church who is out of town, and he was talking about the Muslims, and he was saying, "Well, I didn't realize that they believed in Jesus Christ as well." There are others that will say that Jesus was a person who lived among us. Barton wrote a book several years ago called The Man That Nobody Knows, and he said that Jesus was one of the greatest salespersons that ever existed. There are others that would proclaim Christ as some other great legend in history. But to Peter comes the question, not who does every other person say that Christ is? Peter, who do you say that I am? John the Baptist was that prophet who came on the scene after 400 years of no prophets. He was that one that came and people were turning to him, and the scripture says that many people were being baptized by him. Herod himself thought that Jesus was a resurrection of John the Baptizer. Can you imagine the guilt that he must have been feeling inside of himself to assume that Christ was the resurrection of the one that he had killed? By saying that he was a reincarnation of John the Baptist was to say that he was an astronomical leader and spiritual leader in his day. Some people were saying that he was Jeremiah, that great prophet of old, Elijah. All those wonderful spiritual leaders. Nancy on the comic strip Peanuts one day walked into the room and there was a golf match on TV. The commentator was making the type of statement that you hear a lot of people say, well, if he misses this putt, he will lose the championship and there will be no tomorrow. Nancy walked into the room just in time to hear, and there will be no tomorrow. She begins to run frantically about and she begins to say, I heard it on the news. I heard them say, there is going to be no tomorrow. And they're all gathered on top of Snoopy's doghouse. Linus and Nancy and Charlie Brown, and the little redhead girl from across the street. And they're all huddled there thinking, there's going to be no tomorrow. Charlie Brown looks and he says, I thought Elijah was supposed to come back first before the end of the world. Charlie Brown knew his Bible. He knew that Jesus was going to come back after Elijah. Elijah was going to come first before the end of time. And so when we think about these statements that are made in our world, and we hear sometimes about all these people, then we ask the question, who is Jesus to me? What is the church to me? We look back at some of the great theologians of the past, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that great German theologian who was a professor at Princeton. During World War II, he left Princeton and went to Germany and was instrumental in the efforts to assassinate Hitler, and was killed just a few days before the Third Reich caved in, he made the statement that Jesus was a man for others. In my lifetime, we've heard the musical come and being played on at various venues and saying that Jesus Christ was a superstar. We have others who have say these statements about him. Throughout Scripture, the Bible claims that Jesus is the Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Divine Physician, King, Prophet, Bridegroom, Light of the World, the Door, the Vine, the High Priest, the Firstborn of Creation, the Bright and Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega. All these were an effort to answer the question that Jesus posed to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is the question that is posed to us this morning. What is your answer? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." One of the joys that I have had since I have been your pastor is on family night last year to have had different ones in our church family to come and to begin to tell the story of what Christ meant to them. How Christ had met them at their time of need. That Christ had been there for them as they each went through their differing experiences in life. How Christ had strengthened them and enabled them to journey onward. I call that walking on the holy of holies of people's souls as they tell you their story. Who is Christ? What does he mean to you? How does he touch your life day in and day out? As you awake in the morning, what is the first thing on your mind when it comes to your relationship with God? As you go into your workaday world, how is it that your relationship with Christ impacts how you treat your fellow brothers and sisters? How is it that it impacts the way that you respond to those issues around you? How is it that it causes you to respond to your children, to your husband, to your wife? How does this affirmation touch you? Because if it doesn't impact you, if it doesn't touch you, then you already have your answer. Christ is just another person who lived. But when he causes you to respond differently to those around you, then you know that Christ is the Son of God to you. A story was told about three doctors who went to stand before the gates of heaven. And St. Peter said to the first, "Why should I let you in?" He replied, "Look at my file. I'm a research physician. I developed all kinds of procedures to prolong people's lives." St. Peter checked out the folder and said, "Okay, you can come in." Then he asks a second, why should I let you in? And the fellow replies, look at my file. I developed drugs which cured arthritis and took away much pain and suffering in people's lives. St. Peter thumbs through the folder and tells him, okay, you're in. Then he asks the third doctor, why should I let you in? And the man proudly proclaimed, I am the man behind HMOs. Because of me, thousands of folks have access to medical care that they would never have had before. St. Peter thinks about it, and then he says to him, okay, you can come in for 3 days. When we come to the point where we say in our heart, Thou art Christ, Son of the living God, your life will never be the same. Mary Magdalene, Paul, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Mother Teresa, and people in this very church will tell you that Christ will change your life. Who do you say that I am? Answer that question, and you will discover the answer to life. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 117, O God, our help in ages past. Benediction is a responsive benediction as found in your bulletin. As Jesus sent the disciples out into the countryside to preach and to heal, so Christ sends us out to speak words of hope and to heal human hurts today.
We accept this mission to be God's people in the world.
Go on your way rejoicing in the presence of God's Spirit and the power of the gospel of love and hope.